Unroll the scroll. Let's look at Revelation 5, the scroll. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. So be it. We have just had a window, a door into what is going on in the throne room of heaven before the Lamb. We'll break it down under unrolling the scroll and what impact this has and the relevance for us that the scroll be unrolled and broken in us. Lord willing, we shall do that, just that. So in the right hand is of him who sat on the throne was a scroll written inside. Now in the right hand, his right hand is righteousness. His right hand is the right thing. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. So this is the victory. He had a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And this scroll is, and if we could take it to Genesis in the first chapter, Bereshit, Genesis, the beginning, it says, let's look here. God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, then God spoke, and as he spoke, as his word went out, creation began. This scroll in the right hand of the Creator is His spoken word, and it is sealed with seven seals, which is completion, and His authentication on it, His seal. The seal is the mark of God. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll?" In other words, the spoken words of the Creator, "and to loose its seals." And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. There was no one. No one in all of God's creation could open that scroll. And I wept much. This is the Apostle John, because no one was found worthy. And John wept because evidently he was impacted with this scroll. It was very, very important. It was the declaration and the decree of all creation coming out of the hand of the Father, the Creator. No one was open. No one was worthy to open and read the scroll or to even look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the very midst of the throne, the center, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain. All of a sudden, this lion looks like a lamb that had been slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came. So this scroll, this seven spirits, this scroll, this seven horns and seven eyes are seven spirits. And this place, these seven spirits have authority, dominion over all the earth. And he came, the lamb came, and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, you cannot take anything from God unless you have permission, and it's by his sovereign ordination. Submitted, slaughtered the lamb, was submitted to the will of God. Took the scroll. It is a scroll of all the earth, of what God has over the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the earth. He was able. No one else in heaven or earth or under the earth was able to open it. He opened the scroll. He prevailed, it said, to open the scroll and to loose the seal. How did he travail? Through the slaughtering, through his sacrifice on the cross, the lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So all of heaven worships him because he prevailed, because the Lamb became the Lion. And they sang this new song. The song, "You Are Worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." This lamb was the one, is the one that redeems all things. He's the one that has the title deed, and therefore it says in Colossians that verse 113, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." Who is this? This is Yeshua, the Lamb that was slain. in whom we have redemption through his blood. What did this song say? You are worthy, you were slain, you redeemed us to God by your blood. We have redemption through his blood. What is this redemption? The forgiveness of sins. There is no other name given under heaven by which men might be saved. But at the name of Yeshua, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And what did it say up here? And it says in Philippians, I believe, in the earth, above the earth, and under the earth. There is no other name. He is. This is who he is. He is the image of the invisible God. He goes and takes the scroll from the right hand of him who sits on the throne, the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. For by him, that is Yeshua, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. He is worthy. Only him. He only is the imminent one that can come before the Father, the throne room in heaven, and take the scroll, because it's by him and through him that all things are redeemed. And we have been redeemed by his blood, the lamb slain. He was slain on the cross to take the sins of the world and out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, that's all of creation here. All the living creatures are saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." So all of creation will worship and honor and glory and esteem him. He is their creator, and they will recognize their creator. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. This is what is going on for those that have been redeemed by his blood. Forever and ever, they exalt his name, and he is the preeminent. There is no name higher and no other name given. No other name given by which men might be saved. That is humankind. And all of creation is groaning and travailing for the sons of God to be made manifest. He is the one who takes the scroll and unleashes it, loosens the seals, the seven seals. And who is this? Psalm 40, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me." Who is this speaking of? This is a prophetic psalm. David is prophesying that in the scroll of the book it is written of me, "I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." He's prophesying that David, okay, here it is, that David's seed, the line of the tribe of Judah and the root of David, opens the scroll. He's saying, I come in the scroll of the book. He is the scroll in the right hand of the Father, It was given to him because he prevailed, and it's written of him. He did the will of the Lord, and his law was executed through his heart. Now let's look at who this word is. The scroll has words, it says. Up here there are words written inside and on the back. And who is these? What is this? What do these written words say? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In the beginning, the Word was with God. He held it in his right hand, and the Lamb was with him, and the Word was God. They are one in the same. The Lamb who takes the scroll, and the Lord God who has the scroll in his right hand. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. He is preeminent. Remember in Colossians, all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Okay, so that which was eternal, that which is not made, is God. Everything that has been made was through him and with him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The only one who could take the scroll is the scroll, is the words on both sides of the scroll. He's the only one who could take the scroll out of the Father's hand because he was begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh. He took the scroll from the Father, and he unloosened the seals. John 17:13. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word. This is Jesus talking to the Father, praying. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. In other words, he's not temporary. He is in eternity. And his children will be eternal. They are made, but they will become eternal. The children of the Lord God Most High, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by truth. How did the Lord, who is perfect from eternity and holy, righteous, just, true, full of mercy, how could he sanctify himself? He took on the sinful nature of the Adamic DNA. He took on the form of human flesh, and he was perfectly obedient. He learned obedience through the things he suffered, and he worked the process of sanctification that we also might be sanctified by the truth. The truth which says, this is right, this is wrong, this is sin, this is righteousness. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. He was speaking of his disciples, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me. See, he's saying he's one in the Father and I in you, that he's perfectly obedient Son, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And this is the Lord's, Jesus' Yeshua's high priestly prayer, where he speaks that he is with the Lord. He is one in the Lord, and that he is working out that sanctification, that redeeming by the truth and by his complete submission to the Father for all those that the Lord is giving him. and that we will be perfected when we are at one with the Father through the door, the Son, and that we love Him because we understand that He is love. And He, what did He do? He redeemed men from all tribes, nations, by His blood. He redeems by His blood. Therefore, the Lord's been praying for us, His word, and that we would become one. How does this happen? Well, the Lord says in Matthew 4, He answered and said, when He was being tested by Satan, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." We don't live by the temporary fulfillment of the flesh, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Therefore, the bread that comes is actually the bread of life. The word is Yeshua, His words that come from God, Him. By eating and drinking of Him in communion, by partaking in His flesh and blood, it is the bread, and the wine is symbolic of His body, that we are part of His body, and that His spirit is life. His blood has redeemed us from sin and given us life. This is eternal life. This is what we live, and His word comes into us. His word is the seed of the bread, as it says in Matthew 13:18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom. Who's the word of the kingdom? Yeshua. He's the word. He's the Torah. He's the scroll. And does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside, but he who receives seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word. Who is the word? Who's the bread? The seed is Jesus. He's the word. He's the word, and immediately receives it with joy. It comes into his being, into his heart. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the world, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces sometimes 100-fold, sometimes 60, sometimes 30. So the seed is the word of God, and we are his seed when we receive his word, when we receive him, and then into our hearts, and we become fruitful. Let's look at this magnified in Isaiah 55. Ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What is he talking about? He's talking about something spiritual. This is a metaphor. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Oh, all of a sudden we're talking about eating, and he said, come and partake of this. Come and incline your ear, who hears the word, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, and the word comes into you, the mercies of David, that is the seed of David, the word of the Lord. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, who? The sure mercies of David, a leader and a commander for the people. This is Yeshua. He's speaking of the covenant. The covenant, the lamb slain from the foundations of the earth, the everlasting blood covenant by which redemption comes to our soul. So come and eat and take. Come, let it enter into your heart. The word of the Lord. the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, the tribe of Judah, the David, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the seed of David, Yeshua, let his seed enter into you, the word made flesh, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you call a nation that you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. In other words, put away your sin and iniquity. Let him return to the Lord. Teshuvah, repentance. Let him return back to God instead of your own wicked way and unrighteous thoughts. And God, he will have mercy on you, on him. And to our God, turn to God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Here we go. The seed is what? The word of the Lord going out about the kingdom. And the bread, the words that you live, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is what you shall live by. That's what you are to eat. So shall my word, says God, be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Well, what is it going to bring? It's going to redeem all things back to him, all of creation, that which is bought and cleansed under his blood. You, worthy, you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. And every creature is in heaven, and many angels and living creatures and elders and thousands upon thousands, and creatures which are in heaven and on the earth and the sea, and all that are in them will worship him, and he will redeem them. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. 2 Corinthians 3. Okay, so this is who God is. This is his work, and all of creation is rejoicing and worshiping him at the work that the Lord God Almighty is doing. 2 Corinthians 3:1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of condemnation to you or letters of condemnation from you? You are our epistle. That is a book, okay? That is a scroll written in our hearts, known and read by all men, okay? The fruit of the apostolic work, the church, the early Corinthian church, okay? God wrote through the apostles those that Jesus prayed for, not only for ourselves, but for those who will hear the words of those that are mine, Jesus said. This is the Corinthian church. Okay, we have sown the word into you, into your heart, the word of Jesus Christ. And you are written in our hearts, and you are known and read by all men. People are looking at your testimony. Are you a real Christian? Are you walking with the word? Are you becoming God's word? Is it taking root in you and bearing fruit of righteousness? Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if you don't know, and as you hear these words, let them go into your hearts. Let them take root. Turn from your wicked ways. Call on the name of the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, and you will be saved. As you turn to Him and put away the unrighteousness, and the word takes root in you and produces the fruit of righteousness as children of the living God.